there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Welcome to the 38th episode of The Conversation, a Nordic Film Podcast. We're back today and we'll be discussing the amazing movie that is winning so many awards everywhere, The Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. But before that, we'll talk a little bit about your voice, Tekvi. What's going on with you these days?
Yeah, thank you for doing my intro. this will be the rock and roll version of the conversation. As you can plainly hear, it's Keith Richards' version. I have been sick for most of February now, and this is how I sound these days for the last couple of weeks.
That is crazy.
Yeah, but I do have my whiskey with me, so yeah,
and beer.
Right? Yeah. Yes, you would go to the beer.
yes. Yeah. Let's do the beer, but I want to make a bet that your voice is slightly better by the end of the episode.
Let's hope.
All the whiskey and all the beer.
Yes, let's hope.
Yes.
But I'm thinking, since this is a rock and roll episode, we should just make it explicit right away. Mm-hmm. So just fuck shit, you know,
yes,
ass
okay.
motherfuckers. Let's just go there right away.
I think I can't hide some of those words once we start talking about the main feature anyway.
Yeah.
So let's just get it out of the way from the beginning.
Yeah.
So what are you drinking?
I am drinking an Icelandic white beer called Fosterlandsins Freya. It's called Freya. And Freya was the goddess of love and fertility in the Norse mythology.
It's true.
So, and I already started it.
Yeah, I saw.
It's very smooth. Mm-hmm. But I also have this. This Chivas Regal.
Whole bottle of Chivas Regal.
12-year-old scotch.
I'll
just take a swag now.
That is rock and roll.
Yeah,
I mean,
pretty much.
It doesn't even have a glass here.
Yeah.
It's just straight from the bottle.
Some badass motherfucking podcaster. What about you, Rene? What are you drinking?
Yeah. Last time I was saying that I'm always going with the wheat beers because of you. I'm going to be the same. Well, not today, my friend.
Okay.
Today I have a new beer, some sort of jubilee beer from Skålust, this small brewery outside of Copenhagen.
Cool.
In the forest. This one's called Grizzly. And I'm showing it to you right now.
Yeah.
It's Grizzly.
It looks good.
Called an ultra stout. And it's 12%.
Wow.
So it's like a 12% ultra stout. I'm not going to drink the whole thing. This is 75 centiliters. So I would also probably get wasted if I did. But I'm going to open it now. It has this cork thing.
Yeah. A beer with a cork.
Yeah, it's fancy stuff.
Okay.
And... Okay, it's surprisingly light for a stout, for an ultra stout. I can actually look through it.
Okay.
I did not expect that. So,
let's see. What do you think? Yeah?
It is, it's not a stout. I would say
this is an ultra stout.
Yeah. Apparently, but I thought ultra would make it more of a stout.
Yeah,
this is very smooth. It's a little bit like cough syrup, actually.
Really?
If I should describe it in any way, it reminds me of when I was a kid and got those spoonfuls of cough syrup.
Wow. Is it, we both have like smooth beers, So maybe we should just put on some jazz. Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right. Background, just smooth beers.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I think even you could probably drink this. Even though I said it reminded me of cough syrup, maybe it would be a good thing for you today, actually.
I am not that fond of cough syrup, to tell you the truth.
No.
I think since this is the rock and roll version, you should drink the whole beer. I mean, it's
the right thing to do. And then start talking?
Yeah, just chug it.
Yeah, chug. Yeah.
But I must apologize for my voice. It was not really an option to postpone for a week or something. It seems like it
just continues.
Yeah, right? It's not how we roll here. So
this is a real podcast.
This is what you get this week.
Have you done anything movie, TV related?
Yes.
These past few weeks.
Couple of things I want to mention. I did L'Amante on Netflix, French series, 6 episodes about a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay. I was
okay.
For a while, it was iffy, but and it kind of came through there in the end. But I would recommend it to most people.
Okay.
I don't know about you, Rune.
I've seen it. No, yeah. I haven't seen it, but I've seen it on Netflix, and I thought maybe it's something we should check out. But I'm not quite sure with your recommendation here.
We kind of
did Shub guess it?
We kind of both guessed it, but it's it's not that simple. But
is there time travel involved?
No, no. But well, it's okay. It's fairly all right. Good. Good TV is hard to come by, as you know.
Is it?
Yeah. These days,
I think there's so much good stuff out there.
Yeah.
For instance, cut in here and talk a little bit about my revelation this week, or past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Ellen and I decided to watch Big Little Lies from HBO.
Oh my good God!
Yeah.
No.
Did you watch it?
No? Isn't it? Maybe I'm mixing it up a little bit with Pretty Little Liars or something like that. Awful teenage crap.
No. This is not Little Lies. This is Big Little Lies.
It sounds a little bit like a mixture of Scandal and Pretty Little Liars. Yeah.
Well, it's not. It's really not. This is about, it's probably a bit more like Desperate Housewives, anything. At least it's about stay-at-home mothers. Well, many types of mothers, actually, who has kids going to the first grade of school.
Okay.
These mothers are Reese Witherspoon. It is Nicole Kidman. It is Laura Dern. And Lenny Kravitz's daughter.
Hang on. Laura Dern?
Yes,
Laura Dern. Okay, it just got interesting.
Yes. Adam Scott from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, yeah. We like him.
As a husband there. It is very good.
Yeah.
There are some things that like it the first episode is set up as this kind of a crime drama. There's this side story of something is going to happen, something sinister. You kind of get that right from the beginning. Somebody is getting killed or something. But the whole series is about these women and their kids and how they live their lives, how they deal with them growing up, and well, a lot of things like that. And once you have a kid yourself, you feel it even more. There's a beautiful scene I think in the first season where there's a controversy between two of these first grade kids, which kinda alludes to this whole Me Too movement.
Yeah.
That they put it into first grade instead. I wholeheartedly recommend this. A little bit too little of Laura Dern, though. First episode, much, but I mean, she's kind of being put as this evil mom.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, highly recommended. We've watched 4 episodes. I think there's 6 or 7.
7. All in all. Yeah.
Yeah, and it won a few awards lately.
Yeah, I'm learning that is not something you go by.
No, it's not. But this one is probably more, you know, genuine, let's say.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just have to check that out then.
You really need to check it out. We'll finish it within a week, I think. Mm-hmm. Then I'll get back to you.
Cool. There's something I want to mention as well. We've been watching religiously the past week or so. Comedians in cars drinking coffee.
With Somali?
No. You don't know the show?
No.
Comedians in cars drinking coffee.
Ah, comedians.
Yes, Jerry Seinfeld.
I thought you said chameleons.
No. No.
Okay.
I like it. It's
it's like a fun concept.
Kind of a new format with being like 15 to 18 minutes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, or even like 13, 14 minutes sometimes.
Is it a YouTube thing?
No, it's a Netflix thing. Well, okay. At least I'm watching it on Netflix.
Yeah, okay.
And we're almost through with the first collection. But I know that Barack Obama is going to come on soon.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that one.
He's doing his rounds on Netflix.
Yeah, we like him, don't we?
Yeah.
We like him now that we know what we can have. As the leader of the free world in huge, air quotes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Great air quotes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all I have on it.
Watch that My Next Guest Is? Also
Letterman.
With Barack?
No, yeah. I haven't done that yet, but I'm going to watch that too.
Yeah, it's kind of good.
Yeah.
It's nice seeing Barack Obama
again. Yes. Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
I completely agree with your opinion there.
But no movies other than our main feature this evening. Okay. What about you? Any movies?
No, just caught one this morning with Reskva because she was homesick.
Yeah.
Flushed Away.
Yeah, I saw that, like, most of it on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's pretty
Aardman.
Good.
It's fairly good. It's Aardman. It's inoffensive, I guess. It's just good entertainment.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the first Aardman movie that was fully 3D generated, like computer generated.
Yeah.
But they go with the animated claymation style. And something a little bit weird about that. I would have liked to have seen it as a real animated thing. It feels like to me that they're at a better place now. For instance, with Arthur Christmas, you know, they kind of got that style in a little bit of a different way. It's not trying to be claymation necessarily, where this one is obviously trying to be claymation, just not.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I like it.
These are points I did not even think about or notice.
No.
It trying to be claymation. I'm sure you're right, though. The animation, the whole thing, that's your department, really.
Yeah,
and you're waiting to see so. Coco, right? You'll
yes,
see that.
I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah.
At some point. Yeah. It just got released here. But yeah. Then again, maybe we'll wait to watch it with Reskva also.
Yeah. Yeah.
It should be amazing. But I mean, yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. It's Lee Unkrich, who I think directed Finding Nemo also. Which is one of the really good Pixar movies.
Yes.
Mm.
So, okay.
Yeah. And then The Incredibles. Was it you who said something about that?
Or? Yeah, I really liked the original one.
Yeah, me
too. So I'm going to see that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit... I'm always worried about sequels. Especially sequels that are so far between. I don't know if they're just jumping this superhero wave that's been going on for quite a while.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, they're late to the wave, I know.
Case in point, Finding Dory.
Yeah.
Not a fan. I was not a fan of that.
No. But then again, I did like, you know, that Monsters Incorporated too.
Okay.
Which nobody else did. I thought it was completely fine. But I didn't like the original Monsters, Inc. So.
Yeah.
There's that. I don't know. It probably depends how much. So that's why it's dangerous with this one, because we really like The Incredibles.
Yeah.
So the second one. Yeah. But we'll see.
It'll
be released sometime next... I don't know, October or something in Denmark, probably.
So that means it's September. Probably coming next week here in Iceland.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
So should we get going with the main event, which is this time my fault because, well, we had a little trouble deciding what to do, and there was this Finnish film that we wanted to see. And a Danish Icelandic film we really want to see called Winter Brothers, but we couldn't kind of logistically make it happen.
No.
So we decided on Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Yes.
Because of March Gunderson. I mean, let's face it, that's the reason.
Yes, because of that. And the first time I heard about it was when it won all those awards in the Golden Globe. And you seem kind of excited about watching it.
Yeah.
And let's get into the movie.
Yeah, let's go.
So Mildred Hayes, why did you put up these billboards?
My daughter Angela was murdered 7 months ago. It seems to me the police department is too busy torturing black folks to solve actual crime.
What the hell is this?
Dixon, I'm in the middle of my goddamn Easter dinner. Sorry, kids.
I know, Chief, but I think we got kind of a problem.
Sunshine beating on a good time.
I'd do anything to catch your
daughter's killer.
I don't think those billboards is very fair.
The time it took you to get out here whining like a bitch, Willoughby. Some other poor girl's probably out there being butchered right now.
We've had two official complaints about those billboards.
From who?
There's a lady with a funny eye.
A lady with a funny fucking eye?
And a fat dentist.
There's a lot of good friends of Willoughby in this town, Miss Hayes. Ow! You didn't happen to drill a little hole in the dentist today, did you?
Of course not.
Huh?
I said, of course not.
That was a clip from Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri by British-Irish director and screenwriter Martin McDonagh. It stars Frances McDormand, which we love and is the reason why we decided to watch this in the first place.
As well as Sam Rockwell and Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, just a few words on the plot. It's about this woman who lost her daughter to a rapist murderer, and she is not well pleased with the work of the sheriff's department in her hometown of Ebbing, Missouri. So she decides to take matters into her own hands. Well, yeah, pretty much. And she does.
In a way.
In a way. Okay, first of all, this thing got 5 BAFTAs last night.
Yes.
Best picture, best screenplay, best actress, best supporting actor, and something else.
Yeah, and one more. Well,
okay.
And basically, the same thing she it got for the Golden Globe.
Yeah, let me just throw it out to you there. I saw your rating, so I'll just ask this.
I
with
have
a
not seen your
smile
rating.
On my face. How did you like it? Did you? Let me just ask you this because I saw your rating.
Please. Yes.
Did you like enjoy it? No, forget about the whole critic being a critic and kind of judging it. Did you enjoy it? Did you watch it all the way through? Were you a little bit intrigued?
You know, it's such a hard thing to say. Well, it's not a hard thing to say whether I enjoy it or not.
Cheers. I'll just take a swag of whiskey now.
All right. Yeah, you did well with the introduction, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
No, I watched the whole thing, of course, and Alien 2. But right from the beginning, I felt like something was off about it. And I really don't know if that's because of all this hype thing going on. Beforehand, because it was such a it was a movie with a lot of controversy around it. Like, a lot of people loved it and a lot of people really hated it, and I just fell into that the latter category from the beginning, and you know, I watched the whole thing. I mean somehow I enjoyed it, I guess, but not for the movie chops in any way. Like, I do like seeing Frances McDormand and Woody Harrelson and also
Sam Rockwell.
I mean,
and Peter Dinklage.
Yeah,
and Peter Dinklage what's he called? Selko Ivanek, a very good actor. A breakout role for Lucas Hedges as her son.
Yeah,
this is like one of the finest assembled cast I have ever seen.
Yeah,
this is like
they managed to fuck it up.
Let's stay with the with the actors and acting. Because this is getting rave reviews about the acting. I mean, Frances McDormand, who deserves every award she gets, no matter what.
Also for this one?
Hang on. I have a philosophical question to ask you there.
Okay,
she got the BAFTA and she got the Golden Globes probably, yeah?
Yeah.
She's fantastic. But does... Can you really award actors or appreciate actors that are just badly directed? Because I feel this is the problem with this film. Is the director and the screenwriter, which is the same guy, Martin Matana. That's the real problem here. Because the hook is really interesting with the billboards and everything. To rent out billboards to just ask the sheriff's office a question like that.
Yeah.
It's a really good idea.
You know, and that's what I really enjoyed also. That was the one thing I was most excited about when starting to watch the movie. Like, what's up with these billboards? Like, what is the idea here? And they let you know, and it's a good idea. I give you that.
It is.
I also added that in my notes, actually.
Yeah,
the one positive. It's a very good idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there must be other positives. I said the directing is awful. Mm-hmm. Well, I said it now, at least. I was thinking it before.
I feel a little bit the same way. And it's I realized later after I saw it that it was supposed to be apparently a dark comedy. It's disguised a lot as a drama, I think, and it makes me I get some connections to you know Tommy Wiseau changing his appearance.
Really?
Oh, it's a comedy, actually.
Yeah.
And there's also some other things in the movie that made me think of The Room, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I saw that it was supposed to be this comedy afterwards, but every scene in the movie, like, it's a very heavy movie. Like subject matter, also the content of every scene is actually fairly hard to watch in some way. But every scene also has a comic, like a punchline at the end.
Payoff, like, I wrote down.
Kind of a payoff. But
too many payoffs.
It's completely unrelated to whatever is going on. It's just like, hey, and by the way, I'm also a racist person who makes this joke.
Yeah.
Or some other joke completely like out of line and not funny at all. And it just it breaks up the movie in this very weird rhythm. So it seems like it's like a sketch. It's like a sketch show you're watching, but the content of every scene is just like really hardcore drama, and then you get that punchline, and it's like, what am I, like, yeah, am I supposed to care for all these people when you intersected with these punchlines all the time?
Yeah,
I had no feeling, like, I had no compassion for any of the characters, even like the victim of this whole thing, like the daughter.
No.
You don't get to know her. You don't get to hear about her, really. You have no compassion here. I mean, of course, the whole act is horrid, and it's horrible to hear about that. But then we get one scene where they play it out as this like enemy thing instead, and it doesn't give you anything for her character, and it's just. Like the whole crutch of the movie, you don't care about.
So,
and the further it goes on, the less you care.
I'm just going to interrupt you there. I asked you a question. Can you really appreciate a good actor when he's this badly directed?
You know, it is my one positive, like my one other positive then. That these characters, these actors are very fun to watch, and they do good jobs for what they're being asked to, I guess.
Yeah, but you can see what they're being asked to do.
Yeah. My problem is then, I mean, it would be fine if Frances McDormand got the best actress role, but the movie getting the best movie role then? That is weird.
The best movie award, yeah, no, that is just plain weird. Okay, a little bit about the directing. This is one of the few films you can really say the directing is bad, and why? Because you have like this A-list top, absolutely at the top of the game actors: Frances McDormand, Woody Harrelson, Sam Rockwell, Peter Dinklage. I love these people. These are fantastic professionals, all of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Selko Ivanek. Selko Ivanek. Yeah, I like him
again
as well. He's the guy, the cop who's just the desk sergeant. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And then we have Lucas Hedges, who plays the son really well. Well done, Lucas Hedges. Good job.
Isn't it the guy from Manchester by the Sea also?
Really? Is he?
Yeah. I think it's the sun from Manchester by the Sea, like the good thing about Manchester by the Sea.
Hey, he's also in Lady Bird. He's the man now.
He is the man.
He is the man now. He's in Moonrise Kingdom even.
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't seen Lady Bird.
He's in Zero Theorum.
Ah, sorry.
The Terry Gilliam movie from a few years ago.
Okay.
Apparently. Anyway, it's beside the point.
I lost track. Yeah, the directing. You can really see that. A good example how bad the directing is that scene when Peter Dinklage takes McDormand out to dinner.
Yeah.
And Peter Dinklage has been kind of like a good, smart guy, you know, up until then. He's smart. He was savvy with the police. And then they go out to dinner, and after dinner, he leaves, and then he completely changes character to get a comic effect, and he goes all whiny. I didn't have to help you with the blah, blah, blah.
Billboard.
Yeah, remember that one? Mm-hmm. This is totally out of character. Another example is Sam Rockwell, who's great, but he's like a caricature.
Mm-hmm.
The first
all the way
40 minutes, it gets better. A little bit.
Yeah. But still, his arc is just completely messed up.
It's messed up. Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah.
It is awful.
Like, Woody. Many of these things, I think all the characters have the same problem. Peter Dinklage, probably more so, because he's this, like, bystander. Like, we don't get to see any of him, actually, until that one scene where he's on a date, and like it's just being played for laughs all the way through, you know. It's just like a comic relief person.
Yeah, let me just get to the end of my point here. Mm-hmm. Sam Rockwell, just try and think of how he feels about receiving Best Supporting Actor, going on stage, accepting a statue of some sort for this. An actor of his quality, he must be smart. He must be a smart man. He cannot be happy with this. How must he feel? Rune, how must he feel?
How come so many people love this movie, though? You know, is it just us who see something completely weird?
It's the payoffs. It's the payoffs. That's it. That's my my rationalization here.
Yeah, it's because it's comedic in those, like in the end of every scene.
Well, it's also Frances McDormand. She reminds me, it's kind of like a Western. It's kind of like a lone gunman kind of thing. She's against all the rest, and we see her kicking ass all the time. The priest, father something, came to talk to her. She's kicking the teenagers in the crotch. Not one, but three of them.
Yes.
It's...
And guys and gals.
Yeah. She's just a lone gunman type superhero, I wrote down as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets all these payoffs, laughs, she gets to kick ass, and it all amounts to nothing. How must she feel accepting awards for this thing? I mean, really, have these people watched the film?
I guess sometimes you don't.
I guess, you know, at least, guess so.
At least also... Like I think also accepting the award, it can very well have had a completely different feel on set. So you feel like you actually do a really good job. But then once it all comes down, like, you know, this movie could probably, maybe it could be salvaged if they cut out all those bad parts and stuck with the drama at the center of it. But, you know, it would be a hard fit, I think.
Yeah. Well, I feel sorry for them, I have to say. I feel sorry for Frances, March, which we love. And, well, I think Woody does well. I think he's the best one. And his role is kind of okay. His arc is okay. Well, he has that wife who speaks with a funny accent.
Yeah, exactly.
Lives in Missouri, married to a sheriff of a small town. That doesn't feel right, does it?
It doesn't feel right at all. It's just, I had to look up her name. Just like, what is, like, is she Swedish or something? It seemed like she put on this accent. And apparently she's Australian. That's a bit weird that she lives out there. But, I mean, it happens, I guess. Yeah. But, you know, that leads me to this other point, because just before we started recording, I said I just had to read up on a few opinions on this movie, because I'm very conflicted, like, why it's winning so much and I dislike it so much. And apparently a lot of people are saying something about Frances McDormand being, you know, a sheriff, a lone wolf, you know, a strong, independent woman who's taking matters into her own hands. And that's what people respond to. And it feeds into this whole, again, like the Me Too narrative and, you know, like just female empowerment. But what do you feel about all those other women in this movie? Like, yes, Frances McDormand is fine, but the wife of the ex-husband and also Woody Harrelson's wife, well, not so much. You don't get to know her that much, but the secretary of the ad person? Do you recall these people?
Who, her husband's ex-husband's new girlfriend?
Yes. Who comes in and stops a whole situation, like, with them. No?
She's supposed to be a comic relief, and it's just...
Yes.
It's just embarrassing.
It's embarrassing because it's, you know, it's a beautiful woman who has nothing going on in her head, because she doesn't put two and two together at all. And she's just made up to be this... Like, what do you call it? Like, well, just someone who doesn't think of anything, doesn't have a thought going through her head.
Yeah.
And also the secretary, nothing. I mean, she's just like, I did good, didn't I? Something like that. Saying something like that.
Really...
It's just like, why put that in there? I mean, it took me out of the movie.
Yeah, you can't really connect it to the Me Too thing. You can't do it. And again, talking about Penelope, the girlfriend of Marge's ex-husband, that scene at the restaurant really, well, that scene really kind of brings me to my next point, and that's the screenwriting, or as the BAFTA awarded it, best original screenplay or something like that, best original script. Let's talk a little bit about the script, which is something I... like to see work if the movie's supposed to be good. Yes. That scene in the restaurant with Penelope being a total airhead. And Peter Dinklage is saying something like, Penelope said that? and we know Peter Dinklage, by that line, he's supposed to be smart. And one minute later, he's walking out like, I don't know, saying something. Yeah, like I said before, this is the movie. You can see
what I was thinking was like, how does he know Penelope?
Well, it's a small town, I'm guessing. That didn't trouble me so much.
I had no feeling of the town, and that's also why it's just like, I don't know. But yeah, I see your point.
But let's start with the beginning of the screenwriting. Let's start with this thing. her daughter gets killed and she gets burnt.
Yes.
And they keep saying she is getting raped while she is dying.
Yes.
Raped while she is dying. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking she dies of the burns. Am I right? There's no mention of any other way to die that she doesn't, was she stabbed or shot or?
Yeah, I.
How does that work, Rune? How does that work? How do you get burnt and raped while you are burning to death?
Yeah, I always assumed that. Like, I think they were talking something about it where. This is really weird laughing about this matter, you know, but that she had probably been burnt before and she was dying of her wounds of like being burnt and then she was raped.
Oh my God, that's so stupid.
Yeah, but that I think that there's that one conversation in a bar where it comes into light a little bit like that, maybe.
You know? Maybe, but it turns out it wasn't him. And that brings me to my next point of the screenwriting extravaganza, award-winning screenwriting. That character who visits her shop. It's so stupid, I can't even, I have to laugh. I can't, you can't really talk about it with a straight face. What was that scene about?
You know, one good thing about it was that there was some tension there.
Yes.
There was tension. And yes. And you felt that tension. That was good. But I don't know.
Why do you put that in, Mr. McDonough? Why do you put that scene in? We find out that this guy was not in the country when the girl was murdered. We find out that he comes to see Marge. I'm going to call her Marge, by the way, because I'm high on whiskey. I'll just take a swag.
Yes.
Why don't we?
I'm also feeling the buzz from this 12% beer. Ah. I'm sorry.
He comes in. He... intimidates Marge, and we kind of get the feeling he knows the sheriff. Then the sheriff's wife comes in,
yes,
and he doesn't know her. She doesn't know him.
No.
Ergo, he doesn't know the sheriff,
and Marge doesn't know the sheriff's wife.
Apparently,
you know, it's like what?
Oh my
what?
God.
Is this a small town or is
this
it not?
This is really
a small
town.
Well, she's probably
town.
Just a home, like a wife at home, you know. Was never getting out.
Yeah, that's just why reading, nobody reading is Oscar Wilde there in the stables.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you mean?
I think the scene is there, like to defend the scene. It's there to... put in some doubt whether he actually did it or not. If you only had the scene in the bar later and then got the revelation, then you would be like, yeah, sure, he was not the guy. But here they leave it a little bit up to interpretation. Like they're saying that the DNA was not right, but can you trust Sam Rockwell's character to find real DNA? Necessarily,
I don't know.
I mean, I think there could be some, you know, something on there. And why would he come and visit Marge?
Okay.
If there was nothing there, maybe he knows something. He might not have been the guy, but he might have been there, right?
Could be, I guess.
It's just to give more layers to this movie.
Why would he visit Marge?
Huh?
Why would he visit Marge? Why would he?
Evil motherfucker.
He's an evil motherfucker. Yes, yes. Sure is. I don't get it. He and that scene in the bar where Dixon, Sam Rockwell, is just, you know, kind of baiting him, and he's just kicking his ass, kicking his face in with his like boot, and they don't even call the police.
He was the police.
You know? No, he was, but he wasn't the police. He used to be the police. I mean, I totally support your single star for this film.
Yeah.
Although I did give it 2 stars. And let me tell you why.
Yeah. Okay. Why?
Okay. Because I kind of get why people like it.
Hmm.
First viewing, I watched it twice because I was just really, I mean, all these awards, I must watch it again. Yes. Maybe I'm missing something, you know.
I'm thinking a little bit about that also. Yeah.
I kind of get it because me and Shep were watching it and we were like looking at each other like, really? And then like something awesome happened. Like she kicked someone's ass. She told the priest off, and there was all these like little superhero things happening, and
cool,
she was cool.
Factor,
yeah, cool. Right? The cool effect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's. I actually gave it 2 stars because of that, because of it was not boring.
Hmm.
It was not boring, so it's 40%.
But it was disjointed though.
Oh, it was bad. It was bad, bad, bad.
Bad, but not
so
boring.
Many bad things, and mm-hmm. and again with the ratings all over the place and the accolades all over the place. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Is this really what filmmaking has brought us as the best picture? Really? I mean, really?
Apparently, this is the reason why we're
an explicit show. Fuck that. This is just terrible. It's pretty fucking terrible, isn't it?
It is. It is the reason why we're going to stay away from American movies.
It actually, it got Best British Picture.
Yes. Okay.
So that's the fifth award
we stick with.
Yeah, that's the fifth. And so let's not judge the Americans for this one.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
But
so do you want to hear about my The Room reference?
Okay, let's go. Let's go.
Now that we went totally into spoiler territory and everything. I love the scene, though. I mean, I have to say, I love that scene. Woody Harrelson goes up to Marge, or what's her name in this movie? Meredith or
no,
something
hang
like
on.
That?
Mildred. Yeah.
Mildred.
Yes.
Yeah. To talk about these billboards and saying, hey, I mean, this is not really fair. You know, you're singling me out and I'm trying to do everything for you. And she's just like, yeah, whatever. And then he says, I just got the results of my test back.
It's definitely cancer.
It came out of nowhere. It's just like, but Marge, I have cancer. I couldn't keep a straight face there. I was just laughing.
Definitely have breast cancer.
Yeah. It just came so much out of nowhere, and it was this. Okay, am I going to care for you now that you have, like, it's like they were trying to switch his character from this tough guy policeman to be actually someone who's human, and I guess it worked in some ways, but be a little bit more subtle. And that is my whole gripe with this movie. Like, stop telling everything that's going on and be subtle about it. Like, be subtle about it instead. And I know some people who are listening to this show don't like me always talking about Lynch, you know, but there is one character who was in the return of Twin Peaks,
yeah.
You know, the ad guy, and it made me think of Lynch and how he keeps everything very, very clouded, very much in the shadows. You don't know anything. This one, just like everything front and center. Like, don't let anything go by you without being, you know. You shouldn't be ambiguous about things. And that actually is true also with the end. I was thinking, okay, they're going to end the movie now. Remember, we're in the spoiler area of this show.
Yeah.
But we're going to end the movie now. And we already know, okay, he's going to pick her up in the morning and they're going to go out and maybe kill this guy. But then, what's his name? Let me just get his name again. Martin McDonagh.
Yeah.
Decided to put in another scene in the car, basically reiterating and making sure that we're not quite sure whether they're going to kill him or not. Right?
Yeah.
It's like we already knew that, but it was a little bit more ambiguous whether they would probably do it or not. But Marge just had to say, are you really sure about this? And then he lets them say, well, I don't know. Okay, let's see. And it's like, just end the movie already.
Yeah, exactly. 5 minutes too long. Yeah, mm-hmm. True. Any last positive things you want to say?
I'll just look at my notes and see if I put anything else positive in there. The one positive was that I saw that guy from Twin Peaks: The Return.
Okay.
In a different movie. I thought that was fun. Yeah. What about you? Anything else?
Yes,
positive?
I have a great actor wasted on this film called Clark Peters. He's the sheriff that took over.
Oh, yeah.
He's in The Wire. He played Lester Freeman, who is an absolute hero of mine, Lester Freeman. You need to see The Wire. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Yeah.
How did you like his introduction to this movie?
He was playing up the racist aspect there. That's like a black sheriff. And,
yeah, but...
But what was the racist aspect of this film? Is like a thing for someone to do an MA essay on, you know? It's... I don't know. Do you know?
What the racist thing... They were talking a lot about it, but there was no black people in it. There was nothing. Like, they were just talking about... Like, they were making jokes out of everything. And it was just so weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they were doing.
No, like, consequence for Sam Rockwell's character.
Yeah.
Having done that to a completely innocent person.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was so far out, you know, like the new sheriff going over to him and saying, well, you're fired. That's it. Nothing more.
Yeah.
You beat a man half to death, but you're fired. Nothing more. No charges, no nothing.
But really, his role in the whole affair was just being black. And that's really an insult to an actor of this caliber, I feel.
That's so sad. Yes, I think so too.
I want to say one more positive thing. And that's the music. I like the music.
I did not.
Okay, really?
Because, yeah, I didn't like it because it was so much on the nose as everything else on in the film. Whenever you were supposed to feel one or the other thing, the music kicks in right at the right time.
I felt it like played into the whole it being enjoyable experience watching it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I kind of fit it into that.
Maybe that's the reason why I didn't enjoy it, because I was also... like so focused on how on point these musical cues were, so that didn't even
these extras might be the reason for it being this successful.
Maybe.
Hit the emotional points at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Maybe. And okay. Then all the cool factor about, yeah, all the violence, all the, yeah, shock value.
Payoffs.
There's also a conversation about, like, Woody Harrelson's cock.
Yes, and yeah. Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde.
Let's get that in there so they think we know stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, yeah. Yeah. Well, if you like this, like if you've liked, enjoyed our conversation, actually want to get some, like form your own opinions about it, feel free to go and watch this movie.
I would say go and watch it.
Really?
Regardless, yeah. Make up your own mind about one of the best
if
films
you like
of the
it,
year. By,
if you like yeah. it, please let us know why.
Yeah.
Please.
Please.
Comment.
Please.
Comment.
Please.
Write us. Write us on Facebook. Write us on SoundCloud. Write us on our website, theconversationpodcast.net.
Yeah, just come up to us at work even and just tell us why.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay. That's it. What's next? What's next time? What are we thinking?
Mute. I know we just said that we're not going any like British, American route now. But next,
okay.
Next weekend, Mute is going to be released on Netflix. And it's the follow-up, supposedly follow-up to Moon, which is a Sam Rockwell movie, you know. He was
okay.
In
this is
Moon.
Duncan Jones, yes?
It is Duncan Jones. It is the son of my, well, idol.
Idol, yes.
David Bowie, bless his soul, right?
Yeah.
I'm a longtime fan of David Bowie. Of course, I'm going to watch Duncan Jones's movies, especially the ones that are tied into The Moon, which is one of my favorite movies of... the year it was released.
Okay.
Yes. So that one is being released on Netflix the 23rd of February. So I'm hoping you want to join me and watch that movie. And
I want to see Moon first, of course, obviously.
Yes, apparently it has to, like, it's going to tie into that one, but it seems like a very different thing.
Okay.
Moon is basically Sam Rockwell on the moon.
Guys, this is Plan B. We'll see if something Nordic pops up in the meantime.
Yes. Yeah, but I'm going to watch Mute.
I have a feeling I'm going
to
watch it too.
I'm going to strong arm you. I'm even coming up there. Maybe
yeah.
Even the next episode we'll do live together in the same room.
That is a possibility, definitely, yeah.
It's actually a possibility.
Yeah.
Because it's our kid's birthday.
Yes. And Rune is coming to Iceland and we're going to celebrate it together. 2 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably fun.
Crazy stuff. Time flies.
Time flies. When you're having
fun.
Yeah.
So next time, maybe a joint live show.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
We might even hit the movies together, if possible.
That would be amazing.
That would be fun. Maybe the night before, so the girls get to prepare everything for the birthday, yeah?
Oh, yeah, we need to do that, yeah. Yeah. And then we're out of the way.
Yeah, they'll go down well, yeah.
But actually, I do think that Alien likes Moon also, so she would probably like to watch Mute.
I see.
But then again, if we're up there, then they're just going to talk and talk all night.
Yeah.
And we can just sit there and watch some movie like Casablanca or something
yeah.
without the audio on because we're interrupting their conversations.
That's the last movie we watched together, isn't it? No.
Yeah, I think so. No. But it was, I think it was the first movie we watched together.
No. That was The Room, I think.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sure.
Last movie was Jason Bourne. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was something. We need to do a follow-up with Bad Moms Christmas edition.
I guess.
Next year.
Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, I think we're done for the night, don't you think?
We are.
Yeah.
We are. So, I'm not done with my beer.
No.
So that's a positive.
I'm done with my whole carton. I went and got a whole carton, so I've done two beers.
And the full bottle of Chivas Regal, right? A
couple of shots of Chivas, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay.
It's all mild here. Yeah.
All right.
Get in touch. You know what to do if you want to.
We really want to hear from you now, whether you like Three Billboards or not. Especially if you like it.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Yeah. And we're on Facebook, SoundCloud, Twitter.
Yeah.
And theconversationpodcast.net. You can find all the information over there.
That's a fine website, by the way. Rune maintains that. It's very good. He's a professional. Yes. Check it out.
We're anyway, always going there. Yeah. Checking it out.
So, thanks for tonight. We'll catch you next time.